52DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Prayers for peace in Memphis over the deadly police beating of a black man, Tyree Nichols.
The arrest of Tyree Nichols was captured by cameras worn by the five police officers themselves and by fixed security cameras called Sky Cop. Nichols' family has seen the video, and now the rest of the world will.
We will be releasing the video to the public sometime after 6 p.m.
Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland is promising transparency.
The actions of these officers were awful, and no one, including law enforcement, is above the law.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Memphis.
A federal lawsuit over countless hotel rooms booked in Las Vegas since 2019. The suit alleges most hotel casinos on the Vegas Strip have used a third-party vendor to illegally fix prices for their maximum benefit. MGM Grand issuing a statement saying the claims are factually inaccurate and meritless. This is ABC News. High prices for natural gas are causing a chill across the western states. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze reports.
It comes as global natural gas prices are dropping, leaving many wondering why bills in the western U.S. are rising. According to a recent report from Natural Gas Intelligence, the cold snap in the west has pushed demand to historically high levels, while U.S. supply is still stunted by a 2021 pipeline explosion in Arizona.
University of Michigan student Stanley Chappell is preparing to defend his Rubik's Cube solving titles at the World Cube Association Championship in Seoul, South Korea this summer. The 21-year-old is also an accomplished violinist, something he says has helped his speed cubing success.
I guess it's cool to know that, like, nobody else is able to do this, but at the same time, it's like, I guess giving myself a little bit of a reality check, it's like, how much does that actually matter, you know? It's like, it's not going to pay the bills when I get older.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The State Justice Department is suing the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, alleging the agency offered a woman less pay than men with similar qualifications. In 2016, Military Affairs offered an internal candidate a job as Wisconsin's Director of the Bureau of Response and Recovery. The job listed at $79,000, but they offered her less. It was also 11% less than it was paying a man doing a similar job. The lawsuit says a man was eventually hired for the job and he was paid more than she was offered. President Biden and Donald Trump are popular with their bases, but they don't necessarily want them to run for president again. The latest Marquette University Law School poll says 48% of Wisconsin Republicans don't want Trump to be the nominee next year. 51% of Wisconsin Democrats tell the survey they feel the same way about Biden. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
insecure.
Invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face. She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. We can text. You can text us at that same number. What's going on, Connor?
I'm doing all right, Earl. How about you?
Thank God it's Friday. You know, because I'm glad to see my friend Sandy again. What's going on, Sandy?
Thank God it's Friday. Yeah. Friday, Monday, Saturday.
Well, I know. I used to, before getting back on the radio, it didn't matter to me what the day was, and I remember those times fondly.
I think it's good to be able to distinguish seasons. I think it's good to be able to distinguish night from day.
Days of the week.
And I think it's good to distinguish days of the week, too. I mean, it's like, it's probably
for a long,
important.
Long time you did.
Yeah, I still do, actually.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, where do I begin, man? You know, I want to talk about a guy we haven't said anything about, George Santos.
Is that his name? You know, there is some controversy even about whether that's his proper name.
So Sandy, how could people be? How was he able to pull the wool over all those different levels? I thought people are vetted before they get a chance to run for an office of that level.
Well, you know, the fact is, that's why I talk about norms. You know, people live within civil norms, and one of the civil norms is we believe one another. We aren't so skeptical that we assume that everything everyone tells us about themselves or anything else is untrue. We assume it's true. And so we give one another the benefit of the doubt, and some people take advantage of that. And some people are sociopathic and can't tell the difference between truth and fiction. And I think, quite frankly, that's what Santos must be. He's someone who deviates off the line of truth into the line of fiction without even recognizing that he's off the path. And he spent a lifetime doing this. You know, people go back 4, 5, 8 years talking to people who knew him back when, and it's just all BS.
But there's, in all of it, you strain to ever find that there was ever truth in it, or truth in him.
Right. That's what I say, sociopathic. I think the guy's, it's a part of him. What surprises me is that all these people who can now come forth and say, yeah, we knew.
Didn't say anything.
Didn't say anything when he was running for Congress. You know, like maybe someone could have just come forward and said, hey, wait a minute.
I'm thinking, Sandy, they probably thought he would never wind up winning. Right? I mean, that had to be the case If I knew a guy that I knew that lied all the time, he's, can we say he's a little Trump? Or You know, I mean, Trump made it to the presidency of the United States.
Well, I mean, I think that was in a way sort of a precedent. I think that what's happened now is that if you go out and talk to people about the fact that Trump's a liar, half of his defenders will say, yeah, everyone in politics is a liar. Yeah. It's sort of like, wait, what do you think? There's like this is the new norm.
It just, to me, Sandy, this guy, and now the Republicans are caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Because he's a reflection of them now.
You know, there used to be a guy on Saturday Night Live that was his whole shtick was he would tell lies. He'd say, "Yeah, that's the ticket," and then he'd go on and on telling. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that when legislators they get into the privacy of their own rooms, this is the way they behave, because you know almost every one of the politicians has been caught. You know, making stuff
embellishing
up. You know.
The
well,
truth.
Embellishing. You know, Hillary was in a battle, right? She was in a helicopter and got out, and bullets were flying around. Well, that wasn't quite the case. And you can see Biden every once in a while steps into the fiction that he likes talking at cocktail parties about. And unfortunately, some people like Santos live a life. You know, that's their life. They make it up. And in fact, they probably believe their own stories.
But
you know?
I think
he said that he had his knees replaced from his volleyball. He was a volleyball star at Baruch College, where he didn't go and where he didn't play volleyball, and he had to have his knees replaced, which might or might not be the truth. You know, wow.
But in his case, then he'll never have peace, because they're going to go after him for the money that was donated to, I mean, he's broken some laws along the way.
Let's be proper about this.
Yeah,
he might have broken the law. He's being investigated now, but it's pretty clear that if the Republican caucus can pin the tail on the donkey, if they can get a broken law, they'd be glad to be rid of him, and they will try. Although he comes from a tight district, and so they must be holding their breath, because you know he flipped. He was a Republican who flipped the Democratic district. So,
right.
You know, they might well find that their majority will go down by one when he gets replaced, or by two when you do the math. So, it's a troublesome thing, but I'm confident that this investigation, you know, what, you know, the, did he lend money to his own? And, you know, and if he's so,
where did he get the money?
Yeah. My bet again on this alleged thing is they're going to get him.
So I believe they're going to get him too.
And then he will get, it's much like people talk about someone when they die, they get peace.
Right.
When he gets out of the political racket, he will find some peace, because they will stop investigating him at that point. You know, it'll be like he'll just have to go away.
You
George,
know,
just go away.
You know, Sandy, I think the guy probably did this on a whim, running, never believing.
Well, he ran twice. This was the second time.
Well,
this whim had some legs.
Yeah, I don't think it was a whim. I think it was very intentional.
I think this was his ambition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So live and learn, I guess, is the old adage, which means the next guy who tries this, or a woman who tries this, they're going to be ready for him. They're going to vet everything and everybody from here on in, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, you would have thought that would have been the case already. So, like I said, we live in this world of norms. We tend to believe one another. People have embellishments. You know, they talk about how many soldiers in Vietnam were there.
Right.
And the number that will say they were there is like three times the number that was actually there. And
so,
how many people saw combat there? That's like a factor of 10 in terms of the numbers who talk about being in combat, the numbers who actually were. And so, you know, the world is filled with embellishments. And of course, George Santos wanted to test the edge of the envelope, like, where does embellishment stop and basically exaggerations turn into lies?
So a seat for Congress has to be $5-10 million?
What do you mean? The cost of running?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, it has to be. So he had to really receive some really large.
Well, supposedly the amount that he gave himself was in the $500,000 to $700,000 number, I think.
Yeah, but ultimately, that's not enough to win a congressional seat in New York.
So that wasn't everything. That was some of it. So I don't know what it takes.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah. Well, it's safe to say when Mandela Barnes was running for Senate. Now we're talking about $10 million.
Well, Senate is a lot more expensive than Congress.
Right.
Just in terms of the footprint, the numbers of people, the number amount of advertising you can do, et cetera. It's certainly a fraction of the cost of the U.S. Senate, but I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so
you would think that the people investing, and that's the sorry part. You know, we talk about getting money out of politics because when people contribute to politicians, they are. It's too bad, I'm sorry to say this, but they are investing. So the people who are investing in these politicians, you'd think would vet them. I mean, at least if you're going to try and control politics in a way in a dark corner, you'd at least want to vet the guy to make sure that he'd get elected.
You know, Sandy, he had this Cheshire Cat smile on his face when he won, and he's been and I guess he pulled this off, and he's always smiling. He's starting to wipe that smile off his face. I see him starting to get away now when the news media is hounding him and dogging him.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted. He wanted people to see him and get to know who he was. And now he's trying to hide, right?
Exactly. You know, part of him probably, you know, people who want attention, we know this from our children. You know, children like positive attention, but if they don't get that, they'll go for the negative attention too, and
right.
You know, they'll cry and scream, and so now you have to pay attention
right.
to them, and so you know he's definitely getting a lot of attention. So if what he's chasing was attention, pure and simple, he got his wish.
Yeah, but he didn't really know the outcome of that or the depths of it. And that it would be nonstop.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right? Yeah.
Just might get it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him, and early on when he won, he'd stand there, and every time they talk to him, he's right there smiling, and he pulled it off. He did it. We did it. I'm a congressperson. And now when they're dogging him, he's bam.
Yeah,
he's a track star.
I know. When I, you know, like when I was receiving my Medal of Honor, I remember, oh, wait. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. I didn't get a Medal of Honor.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe people learn. Others should learn from what he's done. He'll never have a moment's peace. And at some point in time, well, he's 2 years. That's the maximum of what he's going to get if he can survive the 2 years, right?
Yes.
In the Congress.
And actually, his 2 years is going to feel more like a sentence.
Yeah.
His sentence is going to be 2 years in the public spotlight if he gets what he wants.
You know, because early on he was arrogant about it. Well, everybody lies. It's what he said.
Yeah, like I told you, that was his defense was, and you know, and to some extent, people buy that because people think that politicians generally are talking up their sleeve, which is an interesting expression. I don't know why that means lying, but talking into their hat, that's another one. You know, he's talking into his hat. So he was doing that.
So I haven't been around long enough to know what those things mean, a little bit before my time, Cindy.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 34, southwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 13, tonight cloudy skies. Chance for snow tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 17, cloudy. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 20.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Overcast skies tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 21. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, one thing we haven't done, a lot of things we haven't done.
That could be a long list, Earl, and some of the things on that list we aren't ever going to do.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about Ron DeSantis. We haven't really talked about Ron DeSantis.
You know, it's interesting. DeSantis and Santos, I mean, we shift from name to name, but it could be confusing.
But Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis.
Well,
see how I confused you. It wasn't hard.
Ron DeSantis. Your thoughts about Ron DeSantis.
Well, you know, he's a smart guy. I mean, you can look at his pedigree and see that, and I'm confident that he is. I've not liked his policies. I've thought that I thought he was shrewd, in using shrewd in both the terms of meaning smart and also kind of despicable. His running against wokeism, painting woke as essentially like the way Trump painted nostalgia, make America great again. Just imagine what you want America to be and go back in your bag of nostalgia, and that's what I'll make it. DeSantis shrewdly said, you know, develop woke as the enemy, never defining what woke meant. In fact, I read something yesterday. Maybe this is the time to haul it up. But he got one of his aides finally did define woke, and I got to...
You know, I've received emails, Sandy. About wokeism.
Yeah, go ahead. DeSantis's lawyers were forced by the court to define woke. The lead lawyer described it as the belief there are systemic injustices in American society and that there is a need to address them. Wow.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a despicable? My God.
So he, what he defined was essentially sort of people in America who are trying to make America a better place, and those people are woke, and that was basically what DeSantis was running against. So what I find troublesome is that DeSantis uses his intelligence to bend things as he has, and has developed a very successful thrust, political thrust, against this woke movement. I have a problem with political correctness and how far we've run amok. But on the other hand, I believe woke is just a code name for what the right would call un-American liberals. And so that's troublesome. What is really curious to me is watching the people line up to run against DeSantis for president, and almost all of them are running at him from the right. So as much as I think DeSantis is way out on the right and troublesome in so many ways, he wants to get the legislature of Florida and probably Congress right in the classroom legislating what can be taught. And so that's exceedingly troublesome to me. But now we have Republicans running against him who are saying he's not conservative enough.
But Sandy, you're a wordsmith. And so when they create, can you just fictitiously change the definition of words?
Yeah. I mean, that's what...
Who gets, if that's the case...
Who gets to do it? Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue's done this forever. I mean, you know, word bites in advertisements are designed to find out what is the psychic appeal and what is the psychic effect of various words and how are they understood, regardless of what they actually started out meaning. What do they mean to somebody when they hear them? And that's what woke is all about. I mean, it's been able to be converted from, first of all, woke isn't, I'm not sure it's a word, but, you know, but the word woke has been converted into a word, number one, and number two, it's now designed to convey to the people who are upset about things a particular meaning. People don't understand it. A judge had to ask lawyers, what are you talking about?
So Sandy, so Republicans and the people who support that have this their own language, because those of us who aren't Republicans and we hear the term woke, it's kind of like we're awake. You're awake. You're cognizant of what's going on.
Oh, sure.
You.
Yeah, but you know, words are what it's like poetry. What does the word elicit in your mind, and does it give rise to feelings and a sense of something? And for the conservatives, they've converted woke into something that means something. It resonates. Like that's what we call that. You know, the word resonates. It has an impact,
but it means the people who are woke are negative.
Yes. It's a created word that is intended to convey something, and it effectively conveys it. It certainly did in Florida, clearly, because DeSantis's primary campaign issue was wokeism, and he won by a landslide in Florida.
So listen, when we get back, I want to spend a few more minutes, Sandy, on DeSantis. Got a lot to talk about. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Prayers for peace in Memphis over the deadly police beating of a black man, Tyree Nichols.
The arrest of Tyree Nichols was captured by cameras worn by the five police officers themselves and by fixed security cameras called Sky Cop. Nichols' family has seen the video, and now the rest of the world will.
We will be releasing the video to the public sometime after 6 p.m.
Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland is promising transparency.
The actions of these officers were awful, and no one
including law enforcement, is above the law.
And he's promising an investigation into how his city trains its police officers. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Memphis.
A federal lawsuit over countless hotel rooms booked in Las Vegas since 2019. The suit alleges most hotel casinos on the Vegas Strip have used a third-party vendor to illegally fix prices for their maximum benefit. MGM Grand issuing a statement saying the claims are factually inaccurate and meritless. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Stephen Avery's lawyers want a new trial again. Their client is serving life in prison for the killing of Teresa Halbach near Manitowoc in 2005. His lawyers say the state needs to reopen the case. They claim another relative was seen with Halbach's SUV near the time she was killed, and that needs a closer look. Avery's legal team has asked for new trials several times. Judges turn them down every time. It looks like somebody tried to send a package of drugs to the Green Bay police chief. Investigators say the package was intercepted at the post office on Tuesday before it could get to Chief Chris Davis. They say the package contained fentanyl, cocaine, and a letter. Police say they'd rather people drop off unwanted drugs at a drop box at the police department lobby. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media Network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Mondays, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition.
And then
nothing.
All right. Welcome back to the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. Yeah, 967-2789. You can text us at that same number. That's Sandy Williams in here grooving to Connor's techno music.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called, man?
No, this is actually African music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no.
It just has some sense in there.
It's not juju, though.
I don't know what, you know.
Juju, I think it's Nigerian rock. I went in through a juju phase myself.
Yeah, right? I haven't listened to that. Nigerian rock is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I must be... You guys, you're out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can start playing some more stuff if you want.
King Sunny Ade.
I haven't heard of him.
Oh, yeah, look him up. King Sunny Ade, juju. Okay.
Play some Lawrence Wilk while you're at it. 844-967-2789, Texas, this and Sandy. I remember I was in... St. Joseph's Hospital And they were going through whether or not they were going to be shut down or not. They had whole wings of this hospital that had nothing and nobody in them. And I remember them, I was the only patient on an entire wing.
Yeah, I was telling you, I had the same circumstance.
And so they kept me there. I never will forget, for 2 or 3 days. And they were running all these tests, right?
Yeah.
Just every test, you know.
Did you fall in love with them, like Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing?
So I never will forget, I'm like, why am I still here? And finally, it was a big Packer game against the Vikings on a Monday night. And I said to them, hey, I want to go see the Packers and the Vikings. And they wound up releasing me.
Hmm. You were a profit center, were you?
Hey, I had great insurance.
Yeah.
And so, Sandy, the reason I ask that is St. Mary's, Columbia St. Mary's, prominent hospital, that apparently is the nurses said they're overworked, doctors are disgusted, patients unattended. Columbia St. Mary's, very prominent hospital on the lake, right?
I mean,
I've always known Columbia St. Mary's to be, not recently, but to be a prominent hospital in, when you looked at all the hospitals in the city of Milwaukee, it was right there. What happened?
Well, you know, hospital, the hospital business has become very, very competitive, first of all. You know, they've got these very big hospital systems, three of them in Milwaukee. Ascension, which owns Columbia St. Mary's,
right,
is the smaller of the three. And then there's Frederick,
right,
in terms of the size in Wisconsin, at least. The Frederick system and the Aurora St. Advocate,
right.
Aurora system, now St. Luke's. And those two are the by far the biggest in the region, and have, I think, sucked up a great deal of the business.
So before you go any further,
but
is Ascension or Aurora, are those all local hospitals?
No, actually,
okay.
I mean, Aurora was local until a couple of years ago, and it had a merger with the Advocate system, which was an Illinois system of the same scale as the Aurora system in Wisconsin, maybe even bigger. And then after that, there has been a subsequent merger with an operation out of St. Louis. I think it's St. Louis.
So they're the biggest.
Yeah, and so that one is the biggest system by far. Frederick is a system that is local to Wisconsin and is more regional, southeast Wisconsin, and is basically centered around the Medical College of Wisconsin. And then there is Ascension, and Ascension is a national system.
Okay.
But it has only a limited number of hospitals in Wisconsin.
So the fact that
all
this
of
crisis,
these hospitals were local, you know, Columbia,
right,
was a freestanding hospital until it merged with St. Mary's. St. Mary's was a part of a hospital system that was run by an order of nuns in the Catholic Church, and then that became the Ascension system.
So does this mean that Columbia St. Mary's is in trouble to the degree that there could be a possibility that it doesn't survive?
Well, I don't want to be the grave digger.
Right.
Well, you're going to have him. That's another story.
Yeah.
I suspect there is a definite threat of that. My suspicion is that were that to occur, another hospital system would step in. My suspicion is that Frederick might find it very attractive to have an East campus for their hospital, an East Side campus, and that might work better. That hospital might work better than the St. Mary's Hospital has. But there is a real problem in the labor situation of hospitals. Nurses are overworked. Nurses and doctors are much less satisfied with their jobs based on the difference.
Assembly line kind of thing.
Well, yeah. That for doctors in particular, doctors have all become employees of hospitals instead of freestanding clinics in which they are view themselves as serving their patients. Now they are basically employees of the hospital. It changes outlook, and it changes the sense of edification they get from their work. Nurses are so seriously overworked. There's a since the pandemic and the flood of demand for hospital services, nurses have come to be asked to and to get used to long hours, lots of overtime. You know, you might look at them and say, well, they're adequately compensated, but it doesn't seem to be adequate to compensate them for the burnout that they're experiencing.
Stress. Right.
The stress. And so it's going to take a while for the nurse market, the nursing market, to catch up with demand and to get enough nurses. But one of the problems that doctors have talked about at St. Mary's is the inadequate staffing, the operating rooms that couldn't be staffed, so they couldn't do operations. And so doctors got frustrated and said, that was an article about that a couple of weeks ago.
Right. You know, Sandy, you always make me think. And so when you talk about this models, this model of the way hospitals are now, not working. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's definitely working differently, and it's not working if you stand back and look at the U.S. medical system on it as an entirety. Because, in fact, I was just talking to my doctor yesterday. Doctors are less satisfied based on what they're being called upon to do. They're experiencing less edification. Patients are experiencing assembly line doctoring, and the way they are getting their services modified, they aren't seeing the cost differential. The ones that are insured, but the cost is skyrocketing because the system doesn't include adequate cost controls, and Medicare and Medicaid, the public systems, have been essentially disarmed of their capacity to negotiate aggressively against the medical costs because of K Street and lobbying, which has caused, which has taken out of their arsenal the capacity to negotiate aggressively for lower costs. So we have an escalating cost system in the United States that is providing less satisfaction to the caregivers and is mystifying the people receiving care.
But Sandy, every one of these facilities look like the Taj Mahal. I remember back in the old days. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the hospitals weren't looking.
No, you don't remember back in the old days.
The marble floors and all of that didn't exist. You walk into these hospitals and all the new wings and everything is up to date and they're building nonstop.
Well, you know, Columbia Hospital with the old Columbia Hospital was quite a magnificent thing when it was built.
Right.
And it was, you know, it did have marble floors, but it was built to look different. It was built to look much more like a college dormitory, I suppose. And the new hospitals are grander seeming, the entryways, et cetera.
So I'm asking that, Sandy, is...
Well, hospital systems, the ones that are successful today, are kind of awash in money, actually. They're making quite a bit of money. They're not for profit, most of them, but they are allowed to keep surpluses they earn and to reinvest those surpluses in the medical business they're in. And those surpluses have been devoted to new hospitals. We had a caller who talked once about the Summit Hospital out in the Oconomowoc area that was built, and there was not much demand for it, and it's not very filled up.
Right.
And there has been overcapacity built in places. There are structural problems within the system, but there's no question that overall the hospital system is stressed.
So, Sandy, at a time when you're looking at St. Mary's, the first thing that comes to my mind is we're all aging, the baby boomers. If they're under stress and those kind of things right now,
mm-hmm.
it's only going to get worse because there's a whole group of people who are aging and going to need those services. You know, you always talk about we failed to plan. Are they planning for that? It's inevitable.
Well, I think the medical industry, you know,
These are tough questions, but
I think the medical industry and the care industry generally has definitely got the baby boomers on the bulletin board as cost centers. The numbers of units for elderly housing is going up at a dramatic rate. Not fast enough, probably. It's lagging what will be required.
Hospitals.
Well, hospitals again are competitive institutions. So you can look at Fredert and the Aurora system, and I'm confident that they're very busy.
Right.
And the fact that St. Mary's on the Lake is experiencing problems might be unique to
just it.
Yeah, the business model that has been formulated at that particular facility and how and why it might be not experiencing the same level of demand as these other places.
You know, Sandy, people and nurses and doctors, you know, people always looked at them with admiration. Those are definitely areas when you talk about law enforcement and fire. You know, the doctors and the nurses, well respected, well compensated.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you never thought the stress part of it.
Well, you know, there's something that's happened to the doctor business as far as Indigenous Americans are concerned. By Indigenous, I don't mean Native Americans. I mean people born in America, because the population within the ranks of doctors of people who are born in America as a percentage is going down annually.
I mean,
all you have to do is receive medical care and you understand that the subcontinent of Asia supplies a significant percentage of the doctors. And by the subcontinent of Asia, I don't mean people who are second generation Americans,
right,
whose parents are from India or Pakistan.
Right.
No, I mean people who have gone to school for their early schooling in Pakistan or Asia and have ultimately matriculated into the medical business in the United States.
You know, Sandy, like you say, all you have to do is spend a couple minutes in the hospital. I don't care where it is, and what you just said
isn't that those people are splendid doctors, and all the doctoring, I think, that's going on is constantly improving. We are, unfortunately, very siloed in the U.S. medical system, so our specialists tend to be hyper-specialized. And that's a question in my mind as to whether that optimizes the wellness of Americans. I think it probably doesn't, because I don't think we have people focusing their attention on wellness, and we have people only focused on curing the diseases that result from a lack of wellness. But, you know, the significant percentage of providers are not born in America, and so the question is, why don't American-born people want to put in all the work and effort that is necessary to become a specialist doctor?
844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Fear you may be missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride. Always on the Civic Media app.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 34. Southwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 13. Tonight, cloudy skies. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 17. Cloudy. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 20.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
So Connor has found out that Sandy likes the bass. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Fridays with my good friend and co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go to my really good friend and former neighbor, Mary from Wauwatosa. Hey, Mary, how you doing? It's so good to hear from you.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks so much for raising this topic, highlighting it. So there's hope on the horizon for this medical crisis. It's called lifestyle medicine, which means people learn about practices of good diet, exercise, adequate sleep, lowering stress in their lives, you know, to prevent and reverse chronic illness and becoming less dependent on pharmaceutical pills. And there's a growing force of practitioners, those being integrative practitioners like doctors, NPs, PAs, who are offering this remedy, including wellness, you know, focus and functional medicine. So if people were to Google evolution of medicine for more information, I think they might feel there's a good direction to go in. I have been on it for a long time, and, you know, at my age, you know, I'm 77 years old, you know, I'm quite well, so that, really happy to have found it.
That's an understatement.
And you're a youngster.
Yeah.
Well,
but you know, there is this movement, I know, but the problem is that the general medical system is not a part of that movement. That's a movement that's mm-hmm. like the salmon swimming upstream, and mm-hmm. I hope it gets all the way up and spawns to finish the metaphor. But it is a very important movement, I think. General wellness and lifestyle is fundamentally much more important to America's problem with medical health care costs than anything else, because America's health and the expensive medical problems we have, like, for instance, endemic diabetes, is a huge cost to the American public.
You know, Sandy, and so Mary grows her own food, right? And she has for a long time. You know, Mary, and there are a lot of people who are doing that exact thing, and it really does make a difference, right?
Oh yeah, and when I go into my doctor's office, he asks me, number one, how is your sleep? Most important thing, you know, if we don't get a good night's sleep, the next day isn't looking too good. But so anyway, thank you for addressing this and evolution of medicine.
Hey Mary, you and I should talk, because we need to bring somebody on the air to talk about that. Okay?
Well, you know, Mary, just one second. Mary, we're age contemporaries. And I remember as a kid, before, you know, grocery stores with all the packaged food and everything is something that's kind of come on the world during our lifetime. And after World War II, our parents were buying produce off of produce wagons that were driving around Milwaukee and giving us fresh produce. We were getting fresh eggs from the egg farms, and we were getting milk from the milkman, and all of this was the way we lived. So we were living without processed food until the early 50s and mid 50s, until TV dinners took a hold of the.
But people didn't live longer, did they?
Well, I think we lived. I think those people lived healthier. I think the rate. For instance, there were environmental problems that people were ignoring. We didn't understand that some of the stuff that was being put into the rivers and the harbors were bad for us, and the coal dust was prevalent from the. But I think cancer rates during the 50s, 60s, and 70s were rising. And lots of health factors. Diabetes has been on a rapidly rising rate, and so I think that there's a clear correlation between loss of healthy lifestyle and eating and health problems. I think Mary's right.
Yeah. Well, I know Mary is right because Mary may not remember this, but I was having trouble with my memory, and from time to time, as I still do, but nowhere near as much. And Mary and I were in a store.
Aldi's.
Yep, Aldi's.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I was telling Mary, I was saying, I'm having trouble on the air remembering. And Mary said, well, get you some coconut oil.
Coconut oil, mm-hmm.
And put it in your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since she said that, I drink one cup of coffee a day.
And when you remember it, you can put the coconut oil in.
Yeah, it's called Bulletproof Coffee. And in terms of cost, one of the things that is going to be helpful is that if you picture a group of patients with the same malady, like, say, diabetes or heart disease, instead of 10 individual sessions with a 10-minute, appointment with a doctor, the doctor comes in to a group of patients with the same illness and, has a little talk with them, educational, at the beginning, and then it's opened up to chat, and the people talk and share amongst themselves. This is this sort of thing, which is, the evolution of medicine is offering, and so it's going to impact on the costs.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. So, she's a very healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever Mary says something, I listen. Because, number one, she's very, very healthy, very, very concerned about her health, and probably takes zero meds. I'm pretty sure she takes zero meds, and I know just that thing about the coconut oil in the coffee. Excuse me, I'll swear by that. So these remedies.
I'm Sandy Williams. I just just to remind you.
Okay. So, and she's not doing the Granny Clampett kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
For those who don't know the Beverly Hillbillies and I and Newt, a sprig of this and it's not like that.
Yeah.
How did we get on this subject?
I don't know. Sometimes
we're getting ready to get into some other things, Sandy, I promise you, and listening audience. Do something a little different for
with the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. Well, they did. Man, it was one of my favorite shows. I can still watch it today. Anyway, 844-967-2780. Sandy, I must be getting old. When the Beverly Hillbillies and Granny Clampett,
mm-hmm.
I can bring that up on the air. Something's happening to me, right?
Well, I don't, to be honest with you, that was a phase of my life in which I wasn't watching TV because I never watched the Beverly Hillbillies.
You never watched the Beverly Hillbillies?
No.
No, you were too busy in college and...
Yeah, it must have been a phase of life, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I can't believe Sandy has never watched the Beverly Hillbillies. Okay. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Man.
I can be what you said that you need. I can be all that I can be.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio.
on the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.